Hello and welcome to Talk Spooky to Me, the Ghost Story Guys Mail Show. I'm Brennan Storer.
I'm Paul Bestel.
And this is our opportunity to hear from you, our listeners. Paul, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I don't seem to know what's going on anymore. This virus has been very weird.
Oh, has it come back?
Yeah, well, Julie's been bedridden for most of the week.
Oh, shit.
And every time I think, oh, thank God it's gone, I suddenly feel dreadful again. So I don't know if it's a sentient illness and it might be some kind of like absorbing me from the inside. I'm not sure what's going on, but it's really annoying me now.
Okay, so well, hopefully this thing does not stick around. Stick around any longer, I guess. What a bastard of a disease.
Yeah, loads of people have got it, but nobody knows what it is.
Comforting.
Ever since I went to see Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, that really does seem to be the demarcation point. I went to go see it and I was fine. Maybe Mr. Wiggles just didn't want to have to put up with any of my shit.
I think it was that bottle of wine. Who knows?
There you go. So I just drink Guinness. This is not an ad. This is a prophesation of love. None of this baby Guinness shit either, the big one. I actually walked into my local the other night, and the gal who's usually working when I'm in there, she wasn't there, but someone else was, and she goes, "You Guinness, right?" "Yeah, yeah. We don't have any." Fuck.
That's when you know you go there regularly, when they know what you drink and you don't even say anything.
Yeah, and they know if I've had a bad day if I order a shot of tequila to go with it.
Especially if it's 11 a.m.
What's wrong with that? It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Hey, well, that's very true. Very true. Peter O'Toole would be very proud.
And you were telling me off air, it is a special day today.
Yes, happy Space Pancake Day.
I understand now because you reminded me, but can you explain to our listeners what that means?
Yes, one of the craziest, strangest, and funniest UFO cases in the 60s was a Wisconsin gentleman called Joe Simonton, who apparently had a spaceship visit him, and they landed and they came out and they asked him for some water because they were a bit thirsty, and he gave them some. And so to say thank you, they made him some space pancakes, which he kept, and they ended up being analysed. Project Blue Book got involved. And people were investigating them and looking at the ingredients of these space pancakes. And it's always been a very particular favourite of mine in those weirder UFO cases where perhaps some serious ufologists don't like to talk about these particular types of cases, and where weirder people like myself and Zelia Edgar and others think it's a great story.
And to be clear, the only thing that made them space pancakes was that they came from aliens. They were otherwise unremarkable, correct?
Yeah, they were analyzed and they just seemed to be made out of normal corn, I believe.
If we learned anything from the film Fire in the Sky, aliens can give you worse things than pancakes. I mean, of course, Fire in the Sky bears no resemblance to Travis Walton's actual experience, but still, even based on his real experience, I would prefer pancakes.
Yes, absolutely. But yes, I think Zelia covers it in her book as well, which is a great story. It is a one of Wisconsin's more out there UFO encounters. And like I said, some people just don't like talking about it. But I've always thought it was kept it in a, you know, saved it. He's very proud of it. Kept it for years, his space pancake.
So did he eat any of it?
I think he ate some.
Right. Okay. Because I would. I absolutely would eat. I would eat the space pancake. Toss up as to whether there would be any left. I'll be honest with you. Because the thing is, once you get me started, I don't know if even science can compel me to stop eating pancakes.
To be fair, I've ingested worse things offered to me by stranger people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I suddenly remember trying snuff on the night before I got married.
Oh. Snuff.
That was terrible.
Rock and roll.
Oh, God. I was sneezing brown stuff for the next day, which was awesome because I got married the next day. And that's tobacco, folks. It's like a powder you sniff. Not that kind of powder you sniff. The sadder kind. I don't know. The cheaper kind, I guess, of powder you sniff is probably the best way to put it.
Yes, I remember an amusing session, all day drinking session, where strangely enough we were on Guinness, and one of the local superstars of the Sheffield music scene, Richard Hawley, was with us, and he decided to get some snuff. And took a couple of massive pinches, and he did the biggest sneeze you've ever seen.
Oh,
a And these enormous, great big snot bubbles came flying out of his nose, and he nutted his pint of Guinness and it went flying. It's not even 7 o'clock. Come on. Honestly, I were on floor crying for about 20 minutes. I could not stop laughing.
Oh, man. Well, okay, thankfully that didn't happen at the very least.
It's a dangerous snuff. Gives you, makes you sneeze great big brown balls of snot.
Among many other things. Don't eat or ingest tobacco products, kids.
Yeah. Don't put it in your eyes either.
Well, don't put anything in your fucking eyes. Speaking of nothing related whatsoever, this is in fact a mail show. We're not just here to talk about various intoxicants, although I'm sure there'll be lots of that.
And space pancakes.
And later on our Patreon live show, we'll be talking more about Netflix's supremely disappointing Files of the Unexplained. But that's later for patrons. Here now, we're going to get to the mail.
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you.
All right, so first up is from our patron, Kimberly, who fills us in on why Snoopy was part of the NASA broadcast. Kimberly says, Snoopy has been a NASA ambassador for manned flight awareness since 1968. I had no idea. So that explains a lot, Kimberly. Thank you.
That's the knowledge we all need. Well done, Kimberly. Thank you.
1,000%. And you know, it fits. Like, I do love Snoopy. I grew up with Peanuts, you know, so I get it. And I understand that makes us old, but that's okay.
He's timeless.
He truly is.
Like Sherlock Holmes and Dracula.
1,000%. Actually, funny enough, speaking of Dracula, last night I drove up to Kitchener because it was like Canadian Film Day or something, where a lot of theaters were playing Canadian movies for free.
On for a couple of hours?
That's right. There's only two.
Ginger Snaps and Ginger Snaps 2.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. That's it.
Well, it's good start, to be fair.
It's true. So I went to go see, I went up to Kitchener to the Apollo, which I really like. The Apollo's become my new favorite theater. And I went to go see Menborg, which is a delightful film made, I want to say, in 2013 for about $1,500 by a group of Canadian filmmakers who went by the name Astron 6. They produced a handful of films. There was The Editor, Psycho Gorman, and then The Void, I think, was their more serious one. But most of their stuff was pretty fun, pretty funny. And Menborg is a hoot. I'd never seen it before. My cousin Mike had talked about it all the time. He found Astron 6 before I did. But I just never got around to watching it. And I didn't even realize the movie had started. I thought it was one of the goofy trailers to start the film, because it starts off with, like, in 20-something, you know, the armies of hell, led by Count Draculon. And then I realized it was the movie, and I thought I was going to die of happiness. And so, yeah, the final showdown is between Menborg and Count Draculon. And it is just as... Remember Kung Fury?
Yes.
Okay, so imagine Kung Fury, but actually funny.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
Okay, I liked Kung Fury. I think Menborg is better. I think it has a little more heart to it, a little more sense of humor. Like Kung Fury, it probably goes on a little too long for its premise. You know, it's about an hour and, I think it's about an hour and 10 minutes. So anyways, mention Dracula. Count Draculon is a lot of fun.
And it was on my mind because the other day I was scrolling through social media, and Dulux Paints have decided to basically try and flog a new color of red by essentially saying it's blood red, but we're not going to call it blood red. We're just taking inspiration from Dracula, which is probably one of the most tenuous links to a product I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to tie my product to a guy who murders people in their sleep. It's a weird tie-in, guys.
It's like when they do like a sci-fi film and then there's a car advert that's connected to it. You're like, what the hell's this got to do with anything? Right? Unless it transforms into a robot, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, I do wonder sometimes about that. I mean, actually, I will cut to an email we had about this, about our show. It's this message from Katie. Katie says, hi, I'm sorry this is a short message, but I wanted to let you know that you are receiving ads from the United States Concealed Carry Association, and that doesn't seem like something you'd support. I know there's probably very little you can do about it, but it's been on the latest Talk Spooky as well as today's episode, April 16th, so I wanted to at least make you aware. I absolutely love the show and everything you guys do. Keep up the fantastic work. And thank you, Katie. You're absolutely right. There's fuck all we can do about that. Because basically, the way it works, we sort of set exclusions So, you know, we don't want any ads from like political action groups, things like this.
Gambling.
Gambling. Actually, I think I'm okay with gambling. I think we have gambling turned on. I like to gamble is why. I was like, gambling. I like gambling. Gambling is fun. Yeah, okay. I recognize the problems there. But anyways, I'm not 100% on that. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But I've got firearms turned off.
Yes.
So we most shows, I think, or a lot of shows, people I know have that turned off. So what these groups do is they mistag their advertisements. So instead of going to the gun category, they go to, they'll tag it as something else. So basically, if you hear an ad like that on our show, I mean, assume we don't endorse anything, any of like the dynamically generated ads you hear, assume we're not endorsing any of that shit. It's just dropped in there. We try to weed it out, but unless you actually hear me and Paul advertising it, like physically, or not physically, but like reading the ad, it's not something that either of us have tried or particularly endorse. We're in the process of vetting a new network so we can go somewhere and hopefully get a higher quality, maybe fewer ads, but of a higher quality. It's a process. Anyways, yeah. To your point, Paul, sometimes I don't know where they get their demographic information from. I get that with Tubi sometimes too. They'll just throw shit in there and I think, I don't know who you think you're selling this to, but you're wrong.
Yeah, I get concerned sometimes. Social media, do I look like a bored old man? Social media, just because of my age? No. Right? I don't want shampoo because I've got no hair, right? My bladder works well. I don't need special man pants, okay? and I don't need any sort of chemical enhancements to keep me moving. So, you know, bugger off.
I've got no reason for those medical enhancements because it's just me here. So that's even if I needed them, there's no point.
Yeah, if you want like muscle rub or backache cream, fine. You know, I've forgotten what it feels like to wake up on a morning and not go, oh, you know, the good days.
Remember this, kids, enjoy the days when your joints work.
When you can jump off tall buildings and not worry about something snapping. You know?
I've always been a heavy guy, Paul. I that has never been an option for me.
Oh, I used to enjoy being able to jump off bus shelters without fear, you know?
So I'm just going to throw this out there. I think I might know why your joints hurt. Just saying. I'm not pointing any fingers because I can't, because my joints hurt too, but I think there may be an explanation here.
You're talking to a man who broke his nose, putting a Chinese meal in a bin under a sink. Nothing frightens me.
I don't know that we've had a more Paul Bestel story than that.
Yeah, you know them bins that are attached to the door under your sink?
Sure.
Well, if you put a certain amount of force on them, they snap off and you nut the top of the door. Don't do it.
Okay, that has been a public service announcement from Mr. Paul Bestel.
Yeah, it really, yeah.
I'm relieved to know you at least felt it. Because yeah, sometimes I just assume you're some kind of terrifying juggernaut.
Breaking your nose always hurts. I broke it 8 times and it's hurt every time.
8 times?
Yeah.
Did you have a boxing career you haven't told me about?
No. It's, it's very bent, my nose, now.
It all adds to your rakish charm. All right.
Daniel writes, "Hi, guys. I heard y'all talking about the casualties of World War II. I'm a veteran from our newest wars, and I have a substantial amount of my own PTSD and memories of lost comrades. I just wanted to say I admire the respect that y'all hold all the soldiers and civilians' lives, in regardless of the support for or against the actual conflict. Violence sucks. Except against the Krampus, of course. Attached below, I have found a graph which is showing the military and civilian losses worldwide. These numbers are in millions. That shit hits."
The numbers that Daniel has included here are staggering. It's really crazy stuff. And again, we'll, if I remember, I'll put a link to this in the show notes. But thank you, Daniel. We really appreciate that. Again, we try to, you know, we try to sort of hold a middle line here. You know, I know we have folks on both sides of the political spectrum who listen to our show, and we don't like to talk about politics. You know, I joke about shit sometimes, and you know, Paul and I, obviously, we have a stance on stuff, and we, you know, we believe in human rights and letting people live their fucking lives. I think that's pretty clear. But when it comes to soldiers, you know, soldiers are just they're people, and they're out there doing their jobs. And we have a great deal of respect for that. You know, that is a very, very difficult job. And again, you want to debate the like correctness or incorrectness of certain military actions, you can do that. But this isn't the place to do that. So we just, we say to our soldiers, to everyone who listens to this show, we have a great deal of respect for you, but also let people live their fucking lives. And further to that, our next message is from our patron, Devin. And Devin says, the fact that even a djinn might have gotten IED'd is a weird sort of comfort. If that's the case, one, at least it wasn't an innocent. Two, better that spooky fucker than us. Semper Fi, and thank you, Liam. And of course, that is a reference to the opening, I think, of the last Talk Spooky. Oh, no, sorry. That was episode 186. We talked about that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Which also reminds me, I'm sure I've read somewhere that certain fae in their conflicts would use some kind of bomb. But I'm not sure what it was created of. I'll have to dig back into that. I'm sure I've read.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a famous fae story from Ireland where someone found the aftermath of a battle, and apparently there was like loads of little limbs and stuff lying about.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I would be very much interested to know more about that. I'm looking forward to when we can get Joe Hickey Hall on the show.
Yes, soon. Next, Jessica writes, about 9/11, I had a premonition dream about it 6 months before it happened. I'm still seeing pictures that I remember from my dream. The dream terrified me, and when I saw the second plane hit that tower on live TV, I about passed out. It was just like my dream.
So thanks for sharing that, Jessica. It goes back to my old saw, Paul. I would never want to be able to see the future. I just have no interest.
Not at all. I think it's one of those things people go, oh, I wish I could. But I think you've got to be, it's the prime example of be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Actually, here's a question, and it's not related to Jessica's email, but it kind of is. I'm on Instagram more than I should be, if I'm honest.
And
yeah, of course you do.
Messaging me at 4 a.m. What are you doing? Stop it.
Send me those pictures of your feet and I'll stop.
it's not the strangest message I get on Instagram, I'll say that.
I believe it. Have your notifications turned. I have all my Instagram notifications turned off. If I didn't, my phone would catch fire.
Yeah,
but anyways.
Yeah. Everything's on mute.
Yeah. But that's good because I message a lot of people at weird times. I'm like, please have your phone on mute because I keep weird hours. Like Brandon, of course, Shaq Snyder and I, folks from Southern Gothic, we're working on this new project, which we should be able to talk about soon. But he messaged me last night. He said, hope it's not too late. And I said, no, actually, in fact, it was like 11 o'clock. I said, I'm just driving back from Kitchener. So this is perfectly time. You know, I've got about an hour and 15 minutes before I'm even home.
Just got up.
yeah, there you go. But anyways. I saw this account, and I think it's called like Your Past Reality or something like that. It sort of like does kind of liminal space stuff, which is something I like. But there was one that it said you could go back to the past, but there's no one there. Would you stay? And you know, it's got a bunch of like retro videos played in slow motion with creepy sounds over top. But that's kind of like a nonsense, whatever. But I'm kind of curious if you could go back in the past. And you couldn't talk to your family. Like, they're not going to know you are you. But you can see your family, like your mom and your aunts and uncles and stuff, when they're like your age now or maybe a little younger, and just kind of watch them live in parallel. Would you do that? Or would you not want to see that because it's already happened?
No, I don't think I'd want to.
Why is that?
I find it quite boring. I'd rather go and watch dinosaurs.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right, Dora the Explorer. This is get your magic school bus and ass into this particular scenario. You can't go back and hang out with Stegosaurus. It's either go back and watch your family or nothing.
I'm one of those people. I've no interest in genealogy other than the family I know. So I'm not sure it would. I don't know.
That's what I mean, though. It's family you know. You just get to watch them live their lives before, because obviously we relate to our families differently when we're younger versus when we're adults. For example, in my family, we've had a lot of people die. Like my family were all older when they had kids. So a lot of folks I know who I kind of grew up with are gone now. So I asked myself, would I do that? Would I want to go back and watch them kind of in what I remember as the prime of their lives, just live those lives? Would I want to, you know, like live in the same town and just kind of watch them go about their day? Not all the time. No one wants to see grandma taking a shit, but but yeah, anyways, I was wondering that. It's a thing. Like I wouldn't do it either. Because to me it's over. And so to see them, and even though I know it's past, like even though it's happening in front of me, it's unfolding in front of me, it's still the past. Like you can't. you can't be part of it again?
I mean, personally speaking as well, I mean, one of the reasons I was so ill was that I was constantly focused on what I'd done rather than what I could achieve. And I couldn't break out of that cycle. And I think it's a dangerous thing sometimes that you constantly look backwards and think that your best time's behind you, or the best nights of your life, or the most fun you've had has gone. And I think it's a very weighty addiction to have, that when you get into that mindset, it's extremely self-destructive. It certainly was for me. So I suppose it's difficult. I mean, some people probably would really like to do that, but I think for me, often looking backwards, and especially because we tend to look back at things with rose-tinted glasses a lot of the time, we think we remember things in a better way, or we don't understand the nuances of what parents were doing and what they were like. We kind of look at everybody starry-eyed when we're younger, that perhaps it would just tarnish everything. And I'm not really sure it would be meaningful. If anything, I think it would be a dreadful thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to agree. I hadn't thought about that take on it, but yeah, I'm with you. I think that's kind of my, generally speaking, I agree. I hadn't necessarily considered that angle of it, but that too. Yeah.
Yes, I'm always here to bring a downer on the conversation. Don't worry.
that particular conversation started on a downer, because it's basically emo Bren going, if everyone was in the past, would you join them? You know. I'm with you. Like, I think it's really interesting that was an issue for you when you were, because you were quite young when you dealt with that particular part of your life. Like, yeah. So for you to consider that the best times were past then is sort of incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that, yeah. I thought it was completely washed up and finished by, 6 years ago. That was it. It was done. It was nothing. That was it. And then a poltergeist saved my life.
Mr. Wiggles. Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, this is sort of a conversation. We only have a certain amount of time before we have to do the Patreon live show. But I really kind of interested in this because I think it's important. You know, like, it's something I still struggle with. You know, this notion that, yeah, like, the good times are behind you and you've kind of done everything you're going to do and it's, you know, what's there left, right? And yeah. Honestly, that's how I felt kind of mostly through the pandemic. You know, like when I was in my 20s, I had a big friend group. You know, we always were in each other's pockets all the time. You know, just there was a lot of love and support there. And then as I've gotten older, and this is generally an acknowledged problem for I think men, it's for everyone, yes. But especially for men. You know, I have fewer friends and it kind of felt like I was just sort of at an end, and it really took like me kind of going to Montreal and then, you know, now here to London to have all these different experiences. But it, you know, I thought that, no, it's over. I've done everything I'm going to do. And I remember I was sitting by the water and I was just looking at the sunset. It was a beautiful sunset. But all I remember thinking was, how many more of these fucking things I'm going to have to look at? Because I don't know if I can wait that long. And I think it's a danger. Like when you grow up kind of in, I don't know, like, I don't want to say poor. We didn't really grow up kind of like planning for the future. There was really none of that. There was really no like, oh, you can make something happen for yourself. Like I wasn't really kind of set on the path with that. And so I think when that happens, I think it's hard to like envision something new for yourself. You know, we get so locked into the life we have and what's in front of us. It's tough to envision anything apart from that.
I think one of the best things I've ever seen is especially I was reading something about addicts, and obviously a lot of my friends that I grew up with became addicts and couldn't get out of it. And it was talking about somebody who'd gone through rehab and was moving forwards with their life. And they were saying that their counselor had said, there's only one thing you need to change about your life to move forwards. And they said, oh yeah, what's that? And he went, everything.
It's true, man. It's true. I'm what, 40 pounds lighter than I was. I'm in better health than I've ever been. But it took
me. You look great.
Thank you.
Lovely skin.
What, right? Can't remember, I wonder how that happened.
Can't believe you thought I was taking the piss.
I really did. I thought you were fucking with me.
Do you think the Count of Saint Germain looks this young without using skincare routines? I'm 406.
And you don't look a day over 305. No, I thought you were fucking with me. Anyways, we'll cut that short because we have a few more emails to go here. So this next one is from Pat. Pat says, been listening since the days of Ian. Fun show. Since you seem to run a few channels, I was hoping you could answer some general questions. Why do some podcasters post their videos with the first 10 minutes just showing how they can't get their shit to work? Can't you edit it out? Commercials? What the fuck? Why does the volume have to be 10 times louder on some streams than their audio? Not all of them do it, so it must be fixable. Hate those ad Nazis. Back to you. Good choice picking Paul as your co-host. You two blend well. In Marissa Tomei's voice, so glad to see a new episode post. Thanks for all the hard work you do to give us a story and a chuckle. Well, thank you, Pat. I agree. The Count of Saint Germain was an excellent choice. I cannot imagine anyone else doing this show with me. And let's hear. Why do some podcasters post their videos with the first 10 minutes showing? So this is a controversial statement. Some people are not going to like this. It is because some podcasters, and I am not immune from this, as you know, because you guys have heard me bloviating for 7 years now. Some podcasters think they're a lot more fucking interesting than they are. And sometimes I'll listen to a show and they'll just fucking wangle on about their day. Like, pick a story. Pick one story from your fucking day that's funny. Just pick that, tell that on the show, move on. And again, I used to do it too. You listen to some, especially when Paul first came on, like he and I would just, yeah, as you guys know, we would gas for 100 years. You know, we tried to move a lot of that to the patron stuff. So there's like, here's a little bit of a little more focus than the show. But some people never get to that point. Some people are just like, well, everything I have to say is funny. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. Or interesting. It also, generally speaking, not interesting. Like, we record, Paul and I are on the microphones for 4 hours when we do the show. Not Talk Spooky usually, but main shows. We're on the mic for 4 hours. 45 minutes to an hour and a half of that, depending on the day, is like for the patron bonus stuff. But the remaining 2.5 hours is for the show. And that gets cut down a lot. Like I tend to cut out
all my best work.
Exactly. Because my ego, no, I'm kidding. I cut out more of my talking than I cut out of yours.
I was saying the very same to my friend Rasputin many years ago when I was having dinner at his house. Lovely.
He was trying to keep up with you is what he was doing. That's what killed him.
Well, I am. I'm partial to a glass or two occasionally.
I've seen this. Yeah, maybe one or two.
I do anyways, like
wine. What's that?
I do like a wine.
As well you should.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, so we cut like 45 minutes to an hour out of the show. And because it's fine, like some of it you hear in the outtakes, some of it goes to the patrons, and some of it's just lost because it's not funny. Like a lot of it is me kind of rambling to like set up Paul to talk about stuff. And because I talk so fucking much on the show anyways, I just cut that out because I'm like, I'm not saying anything. I'm just like getting to a place where like, it like triggers Paul and Paul kind of goes. Yeah, some people just don't understand pacing. They don't understand all that shit. And they just think it's interesting on its face, you know, because like when I started the show, there's actually a podcaster who I have a huge amount of respect for. I won't say their name. Back in the day when he first started, I remember him posting a picture of this thing everyone does with their editing. And it's just a picture of them looking annoyed, like editing, you know, and everyone does it. And now, you know, that person is enormously successful. They have the best podcast or one of the best podcasts in their particular niche. So it's like, you can move past that. But some people never do. So that's why. Some people are just, they think the things they're doing are much more interesting than they are. As for the ad thing, shows have no control over what level the ads are at. So it just kind of depends on what level the show sets their audio to. Some people make their shows louder. Some people make their shows quieter. Again, when I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, the show was so quiet. And I've actually quieted the show down again. It was up to a certain level. And I've kind of dropped it back a little bit since I was doing those audiobooks. But that's why. Some people, everyone levels their show differently. And some people level it to more or less what advertisers would level it at. But there's really no way to know what advertisers are doing.
I sat on the floor for 2 years. So I was squashing my diaphragm. I wasn't projecting.
Oh, no. Oh, man. It sounded really good. You know, like obviously it's improved a lot over the years, but yes. I would never know that you were hunched on the floor.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
The episode that you remastered recently for Linda Godfrey, was that one of the floor episodes?
Everything up to about episode 100.
I'll be damned.
That probably the first 2 years of the show, I was sat on the floor, cross-legged. like some Indian guru in a retreat.
So, Pat, I hope that answered some of your questions.
Hillary writes, so I dream about people and places I've never encountered a lot. I feel like they're associated with whatever my sleeping brain is trying to process. Anyway, there's this restaurant I go to for breakfast in one of my dreams. It's in a weird location, like at the basement of a barn, but it's always the same place. I'm usually waiting to meet someone, or my party has been divided between tables that are in different sections or something. But I'm usually angsty in my dream, trying to stay on top of things, feeling overwhelmed and nervous. I was driving up through Western Maine on the eclipse day, hoping to move from my 98% coverage to an area of totality. I did make it to my destination with less than 2 minutes to spare. It was definitely worth it. But I was nervous about traffic and an unfamiliar route and whether I could make it. On some back road, I drove past a building and I realised it was the building, the one from my dream. It didn't appear to actually have a restaurant. I don't know if I could find it again to investigate further. I just about jumped out of my seat whilst driving with my seatbelt on. It was so shocking. Not a similar building. The building. I was going to my parent-in-law's house, but along a route I'd never travelled before. The eclipse had created traffic that would ensure I'd never make it by my normal route in time. So Brennan, I know you like those reoccurring dreams, and those premonition stories from Shadows in the Desert seem too coincidental not to write.
Yeah, I'm always a sucker for precognitive dreams, Hillary. Because again, that just speaks to these larger mysteries that underlie so many of the things we talk about on this show. All right, one last quick one. This is from Fiona. Fiona says, another excellent episode, gentlemen, and I just had to agree with Paul about the clangers. Superb program. I'm assuming that is clanger related.
That's clanger talk.
Every now and again, I think, I understand England and its people. I've been married to an English woman for 16 years. But then something like this happens, and I think, no, I really know nothing about that strange little island.
One of those children's programs that catches you in the zeitgeist. We had loads of great programs like that. You know, it's about some special moon mice type things. I don't know what they are. Well, they're clangers, I know that, but I'm not sure what kind of creatures they are. And like I say, the episode where they find a handbag on the moon's amazing. Why is there a handbag on the moon? So many questions.
This is the kind of hard-hitting kids programs that we had back in the 70s, before all this bluey nonsense.
Yeah. Why is there a dragon inside the moon making soup? What's going on?
I'm thinking someone was doing a lot of acid, is what I'm thinking.
Like Button Moon, you know? Button Moon, you know, a rocket made out of washing up liquid bottles flies to the moon. Mr. Spoon and Mrs. Spoon and Tina Teaspoon and the strange people they meet.
This was a country still recovering from the Second World War trying to think of shit to put on TV. That's what this was. All right, well, we got mates. We got spoons. We got a couple washing up bottles. We got an old sick dog in a dragon costume. We don't know where he's coming from. It's in the moon. It's in the moon. That's what it is. Let's have another point. All right, folks, we're going to tie it off there. But thank you so much, as always, for joining us. And again, if you want to send us a message, we would love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at ghoststoryguys@gmail.com. We're on Facebook as The Ghost Story Guys, finally made a group. We are on Instagram as The Ghost Story Guys. And of course, we're on YouTube and all those good places. And we try to draw as much as we can from different sources for Weird Together. So no matter where you leave your comment, we will try to get it on the show. Obviously, the volume of such, we can't get everyone on there, but we do our best to get as many as we can.
Yes, especially if you mention the clangers.
Especially if you mention the clangers, yes.
Or bagpuss.
All right, my friend, where can everyone find you online?
You can find me as Mysteries and Monsters across all social media networks and on certain podcast sites as well.
I am Largely the Truth on Threads, Blue Sky, Letterboxd, and Instagram. You can find my other show, Weird Together, where we examine the sociology behind independent horror films everywhere. Find podcasts live again. That's Weird Together. And of course, we always like to end Talk Spooky with a song. This time around, we're going to be sharing a track from The Revenants. The Revenants, of course, on our house label, Night Harvest Recordings. The song is Don't Hide Your Light from their latest album, Spanish Kitchen, which is now available on streaming platforms everywhere. The Revenants are a project of the Boston-based artist Elliot Wilder. And if you want to hear more of their stuff, you can find them basically Spotify everywhere you stream your music. But if you want to buy the albums, I recommend buying them directly from Elliot at therevenants1.bandcamp.com. And I say that because he designs exhaustive liner notes for everything he releases. And that's just not available streaming. But he does a crazy amount of side work that I think most folks just don't get to see. So again, if you want to experience that, check out more of Elliot's work, head to therevenants1.bandcamp.com. But if you want to listen, you can do so on streaming platforms everywhere. And if you have an independent band, you want to have your music featured in this part of the show, get your work in front of thousands of people, hell, tens of thousands at this point, shoot us an email at ghoststoryguys@gmail.com. All right, folks, we'll be back in a week. Until then, we will leave you with the Revenants and Don't Hide Your Light.
You sit in silence like a Buddha. Your legs cross quite comfortably. But hidden behind the cool facade, I know there's something you won't let me see. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your light from me. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. Shine it down for all to see. Behind your eyes, there are stories. There are stories I won't ever know. Don't matter how down deep I dig, you don't wanna let it show. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your light from me. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. Shine it down for all to see. Shine it down on me. Shine it down on me, my love. Let me see. Let me see. Shine it down on me. Shine it down on me, my love. Set yourself free. Set yourself free. Your doors locked so tightly, and all your curtains are drawn. You ain't ever gonna let me in. And just how long can this go on? Don't hide your light.
Don't hide your light.
Don't hide your light.
Don't hide your light.
Don't hide your light from me. Don't hide your light. your light.
Don't hide your light.
Don't hide your light.
Don't hide your light.
Shine it down for all to see. Shine it down on me. Shine it down on me, my love. Let me see. Let me see. Shine it down on me. Shine it down on me, my love. Set yourself free. Set yourself free.